Welcome everyone to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is, I want to say a special group because it's my final group after leading this call for over 10 years. And our beloved Deidre Statz will be taking over next week. So same Zoom link, same time, and we will carry on. What we're going to do tonight is our reading. So we're reading in the Manual for Teachers, the very last section. Later on, we're also going to do a little meditation activity. And so I've been prompting everyone to have some type of object nearby that you can use, a stone, a crystal, a piece of wood, a leaf, some object that you can use in a meditation exercise to represent just the work that we've done together, however long you've been here, whether it's been since the beginning, over 10 years ago, or just recently. We'll be utilizing that later on. So please do have whatever object it is that you would like to use. In addition, in our opening meditation, I'll just be prompting us as if we were in a big circle around a campfire. So if you would like to light a candle, I welcome you to do so. So let's go ahead and drop in. Actually, before I do that, I do have one announcement. I know a number of you have been with me already in the From Anxiety to Love Masterclass, and the registration period is open again. So we'll begin the course, I think it's the 18th. So the cart will be closing, I think, on the 15th, and there's a coupon right now. So if you haven't taken the class and you're interested, it's a great opportunity to continue to work together. I'm just writing this in the chat, hopefully really quickly. It's fromanxietytolove.com/masterclass. So feel free to check that out there. I'm really, really excited to be opening the doors again. All right, let's begin our period of meditation. Allowing your eyes to close if you are able. And just beginning with taking a few deep breaths. And settling in. Noticing whatever is present for you. Maybe if you've had a busy day, you can notice that your mind is just still going like a hamster wheel. And just knowing that eventually it will settle. In this group, we've been together for quite some time. And we have a transition before us. And it can be helpful right now if you'd like to imagine all of us on this call right now, and also our extended family, those who listen to the recordings or tune in via the Facebook group. All are part of this study group circle. And we can imagine that we are in a large circle, maybe holding hands around a fire. And we can imagine just that this fire is like a sacred space as we've shared such important spiritual ideas with each other. We've strengthened these ideas for one another, both by our sharing and by our listening, by our being present. So in this circle right now, just imagining and being present with any feelings that are with you right now surrounding transition, surrounding change. A Course in Miracles says that one of the greatest gifts that God gave us is change. In other words, we can't dilly-dally forever. We're going to know who we are, and yet we already know who we are deep down. That has never left us. So in this circle, inviting the Holy Spirit in. And with our shared intention, our joint intention, all of us in this circle, we say to the Holy Spirit, this holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place you in charge, Holy Spirit, by our request. Trusting that our curriculum, our lives, will present us the perfect learning opportunities for us to learn gently, joyously, so we can be happy learners, fully embracing and recognizing the times that we're not happy learners. That there's room for that too. Holy Spirit still has got it. So taking a nice deep breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Welcome, everyone. For anyone who has just tuned in, please, later on, we're going to do an activity, have a stone or some type of object available. And for anybody who's just tuning in as well, this will be my final time leading this study group. And Deidre will be taking over next week. So same Zoom link as we carry on. So let's begin our reading. We're in the Manual for Teachers, part 29. It's called As for the Rest. It is page 1652 in the purple book and page 70 in the blue book. I actually am going to read a few paragraphs before I pause. There's not a lot of reading tonight, but we might go a little bit over the top of the hour. So 29, As for the Rest. This manual is not intended to answer all questions which both the teacher and pupil might raise. In fact, it covers only a few of the more obvious ones in terms of a brief summary of some of the major concepts in the text and workbook. It is not a substitute for either, but merely a supplement. While it is called a manual for teachers, it must be remembered that only time divides teacher and pupil, so the difference is temporary by definition. In some cases, it may be helpful for the pupil to read the manual first. Others might do better to begin with the workbook. Still others may need to start at the more abstract level of the text. Which is for which? Who would profit more from prayers alone? Who needs but a smile, being as yet unready for more? No one should attempt to answer these questions alone. Surely no teacher of God has come this far without realizing that. The curriculum is highly individualized, and all aspects are under the Holy Spirit's particular care and guidance. All aspects are under the Holy Spirit's particular care and guidance. Ask and he will answer. The responsibility is his, and he alone is fit to assume it. To do so is his function. To refer the questions to him is yours. Would you want to be responsible for decisions about which you may understand very little? Be glad you have a teacher who cannot make a mistake. His answers are always right. Would you say that of yours? I'll pause there for a moment. So it's a helpful reminder in this first paragraph that there's only time separates teacher-student roles. It's a temporary difference. And I love how it just reminds us that where somebody begins with A Course in Miracles is going to be an answer that the Holy Spirit can give. So as you move forward, if you get asked by a new student, you know, where should I begin? Check in and see what might feel right. I always defer to that person's guidance after saying things like, the manual is very readable. It can be easily digested. It's much less theoretical and dense than the text. Some people might really resonate with that structure of the workbook. So it's all going to depend, and it's an answer that can come from Holy Spirit. I love that in just paragraph number 2, it talks about how sometimes in some cases, some individuals might just need a smile and not yet be ready for more, but we don't need to answer any questions alone. It reminds us that our lives are highly individualized, our lessons are highly individualized, and all aspects of our learning are under the Holy Spirit's care and guidance. Ask and he will answer. The responsibility is his. I love how it says, to do so is his function, to refer the questions to him is yours. Like, circle and star that sentence, to refer the questions to the Holy Spirit is yours. This is about, as I say often, especially in the masterclass too, making the Holy Spirit a habit. This is what we're doing in this work, is making the Holy Spirit a habit, getting used to turning to the Holy Spirit, asking for help, asking for guidance, asking. And it's going to say later on that referring to the Holy Spirit with increasing frequency not only builds that habit, but it means that there'll be times when answers might be presented to us even before we ask. So I just want to highlight also these last few sentences. Be glad you have a teacher who cannot make a mistake. So we can place our complete trust in Holy Spirit. We might not have trust in our ability to listen just yet, but this is where it's important to remember that even if we're not sure about guidance, as long as we're handing everything over to the Holy Spirit, we're not leaving room for the ego to hide out. So we can do whatever it is that we feel inclined to do, and we'll learn from that choice. Because it does say, and well, it says right after that, his answers are always right. And when I've said before, when the Course uses words like that, always, never, it means it. So his answers are always right. The Holy Spirit is worthy of our complete trust. Anybody want to chime in before I read the third paragraph? Okay, paragraph 3. There is another advantage, and a very important one, in referring decisions to the Holy Spirit with increasing frequency. Perhaps you have not thought of this aspect, but its centrality is obvious. To follow the Holy Spirit's guidance is to let yourself be absolved of guilt. It is the essence of the atonement. It is the core of the curriculum. The imagined usurping of functions not your own is the basis of fear. The whole world you see reflects the illusion that you have done so, making fear inevitable. To return the function to the one to whom it belongs is thus the escape from fear. And it is this that lets the memory of love return to you. Do not then think that following the Holy Spirit's guidance is necessary merely because of your own inadequacies. It is the way out of hell for you. Wow. There's a couple of big wows in this paragraph. Deferring decisions to the Holy Spirit with increasing frequency means that we can let ourselves be absolved of guilt. If we were guided, it's the Holy Spirit giving us that guidance. And so we need not then backtrack and think, oh, maybe I shouldn't have, et cetera, and find ways to beat ourselves up. This actually allows us to be absolved of guilt, which is the essence of the atonement, that absolving of guilt. It goes on to say another big wow, the imagined usurping of functions not your own is the basis of fear. So if you remember a few weeks ago, I shared a story about one of my college professors who, when she was teaching adolescent psychology, and she shared a story of when her daughter was really young and was in, I don't remember the phase. It was a phase that children go through of like wanting to do things on their own. And when her mom did something for her, she sang this very pouty, sad song. I wanted to do it myself. I wanted to do it myself. And that's what we've done coming here. We want to do it ourselves. And so we have, in a sense, usurped functions that are not our own in being our own decision makers, making our own little dreams, doing things of our small self. We want to do things ourselves. We want to shut God out and not listen to the Holy Spirit. And because we've done this, we're then terrified that God's going to lash out and get us for it. We're terrified that God is going to punish us for it. God is not going to punish us for this, but it's the fear in the mind. So when we return the function to the one to whom it belongs, in other words, a way of doing this is again, by turning to the Holy Spirit, who is the voice of God, the voice for God, by turning to the Holy Spirit with increasing frequency, we're giving that function back of recognizing that we don't know. I don't know. I don't want to do it by myself, because when I try to do it by myself, I'm going to steer my ship into the ground. So, and I love my final wow in this paragraph that I'll just highlight is these last two sentences. Do not then think that following the Holy Spirit's guidance is necessary merely because of your own inadequacies. It is the way out of hell for you. So if there's one thing that I would say that I've taken from A Course in Miracles, it's following the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is everything. The Holy Spirit is the way out of hell for us. That's big. Anybody feel moved to chime in? Comments, questions, things that stood out to you? All right. John.
And by the Holy Spirit, though, that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, exclusively.
Whoever you feel connected to, they're all helping us. So, okay. I mean, you all know that I'm feeling very connected to the Black Madonna. Like there are different beings that we might, you know, feel connected to. And so, yes, I'm trying to remember, was it on this call? Thinking about angels as like the Holy Spirit's helpers. Were we talking about that here? I can't remember where I that was here. Yeah. So that's, you know, we can call on angels. They're all helping. Whoever it is we want to
call.
That's
good. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Oh, anybody else? Faden.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to try to raise my hand.
Baden and Chris.
You know, the sentence in here that just really pops out for me is to return the function to the one to whom it belongs is thus the escape from fear. I'm also a studier of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that book is full of a lot of promises. Mm-hmm. And as you were reading that, I thought, wow, that is a promise that... Mm-hmm. is noteworthy. I need to put it up on my board somewhere and remind myself that that is how to escape fear. Oh,
I love how you're referring to it as a promise too. That's beautiful. Thank you for highlighting that for us, Faden. That is a beautiful promise. Thank you so much. Chris.
I guess I was just speaking to being in that place right now. There's am experiencing what appears like to be absolute madness in the world right now, in my interactions with a couple people who, from a psychological perspective, it would seem like one or the other, somebody's very mentally ill, if not all three of us. Mm-hmm. And I do think they have DID undiagnosed. And I've prayed for help with this, but I apparently have not let it go. Mm-hmm. And I'm just in a place of being kind of aghast at the insanity of my reactivity and the whole way the conversations have gone. I'm just in shock, and I guess there's nothing else to do at this point. It feels like a wasteland. I have to turn it over. I have to let it go. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I join with you in that, Chris, in that point, coming to that point of recognizing that there's nothing that can necessarily be done on this level of form anymore. You know, it's like you try it and you try it and you try it and it's not working and it's not working and it's not working. That then is our only next option. It's now time to turn it over. It's now time as best we can to do that. And if we find ourselves picking it up again, noticing that, not feeling guilty about that, and again, working to release it. It might be helpful. I know I've shared this before, but at times when it's something that I keep picking back up, writing it down on a piece of paper and folding that paper up and putting it in a jar or putting it somewhere and saying, I can only think about this if I go get that piece of paper. Like, I have to have that for me to ruminate and worry and think about it. I have to have that piece of paper in my hand. And so if it's over there in the jar, I can't think about it until I go get it. And at some point it gets tiring going to pick it up again. And it's like, okay, wait, I'm going to hand this over because I don't actually feel like getting up and getting the paper from the jar right now. So it's just one little tool that can be used to support us in handing it over.
Thank you.
But I'm joined with you in releasing. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. And Andrea too. Oh, thank you again. Paula.
I'm on muting. There we go. Chris, I had that kind of experience recently myself. And it was probably the most disturbing thing I've ever experienced. And it was a couple of weeks ago. And the Holy Spirit is the answer, absolutely. But I really had to process through it for a while with the Holy Spirit. And what Corinne was just saying is perfect. Write it out. Don't just let it spin around in your head. Write everything, get it down on paper. Mm-hmm. I feel so much better now. It is such a miracle as far as I'm concerned. It's an absolute miracle. The Holy Spirit has taken it from me. And what occurred to me is let miracles replace all grievances. Mm-hmm. If I have said it once, I've said it 500,000 times since this incident. It's become like my mantra. And I just feel so relieved when I do that. It's just such a blessing. Mm-hmm. Stick with the Holy Spirit. You're gonna soar out of this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Chris, did you want to add anything, or are you good?
I think I just need to listen.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank you so much. Aaron is next.
Hi, I just want to add my empathy to Chris and what she's saying. If I'm understanding her correctly, it's the closest thing to how that I've heard people talk about to how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. My discipline is very bad about writing and so on. So I may be not doing some things I should, but it really, it's at that point where there's really, it doesn't seem like there's anywhere else to go. And so it's the patience of appealing to the Holy Spirit and then seeing something from it, which has not happened yet. So I have to wade through the fear still, but faith, I can only say apparently it seems to me it's faith in the help of the Holy Spirit that will finally I'll get to see.
Yeah. Oh, Aaron, thank you for your beautiful words. You know, I you brought up something, a memory for me, and I'm really just repeating what has just been said. But it was a client that I worked with back when I was a full-time therapist, and they were thanking me for the work that we had done. And they eventually said, you know, how did you know to introduce spirituality to me? And I was like, because there was nothing left. Like, we tried everything, like pulling out every, you know, therapeutic thing in the book, and nothing was helping and nothing was helping. But we had to go through that process. Like that's our learning, is that we have to be where we are. We're going to try and try again in, you know, certain circumstances to work things out here. And in some, and I'm not speaking to any specific situations, but in broad situations, we can make progress and see change. But in these intense situations that you're talking about specifically, and intense situations too in the world, it's that point of like, oh gosh, I've tried everything and nothing else is working. There's got to be another way. It's that same point that Helen and Bill came to. There's got to be a better way. And that's when we're like, oh, now I'm actually really ready to release this because I've tried and tried and tried. So I know everyone on this call is joined with both of you who have shared about this just intensity and you know, reaching that point of being willing to surrender more deeply than ever before. So thank you both so much for sharing. Thank you, Aaron.
Amen.
Oh, Carolyn Pat, hello.
Yes, hi. I've heard you for the last couple of weeks talk about the transition and this class, or I don't know what to call it. I call it the course, I call it a class, the gathering. And in the over 10 years of gathering. And I thought, oh yeah, we're just going to go right into debriefing, you know. And I have this on my dresser for a lot of years, and I don't know that anybody can see. But this is your mom. Mm-hmm. This is a card that she created, mm-hmm. and it says, give it to your angels. And give it to your angel. And I keep that as a reminder. But in the last so many years of us gathering, I have learned so much. And one of the things that I now have as my mantra is, Holy Spirit, I give this to you. Mm-hmm. That was never anything. I mean, prior to going to other course gatherings, and there's been such a the other thing that I hold on to is I am where I am. And there's been so much love that has been here every Sunday. When, you know, in the over 10 years, the losses that Pat and I have gone through, physical, emotional, and yet everybody else that has shared from their hearts. And I love, love, love Deidre. And I think about, I was introduced to her through this gathering. I did not know her previously. And I do know that Holy Spirit, our angels, the Black Madonna, has a part in all of this. This is all divine. And it's taken me a very long time to get to that point. And I'm only here this moment. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really like thinking about that, but I'm only here this moment because I have been in that pain that I hear people talking about tonight. And I'm in gratitude knowing that when we gather here every Sunday, there is so much love exuded to everyone. And it's a safe place to gather. And the support, 6 months ago, when Pat shared about losing his job, and tomorrow he starts another journey with another job.
Wow.
It, as he calls it, what, a mission from God?
I'm on a mission from God.
So I just want to share that in hope. And I think a lot of people on the call know that we lost our dog, Faith. And now we have a dog named Hope. So I've learned so much. And I'm so very, very grateful for this group, this gathering, because we're all here for each other. Thank you
for your gorgeous words, Carol. They go right to my heart. And I just want to reflect to the love and the support and the holding the space that all of us do every single week for one another when we share, when we listen, when we go through major life transitions. I mean, the two of you have been coming since day one, over 10 years ago, because for those of you who might not know, Carol and Pat and Paula, you've also been here, I believe, since day one, 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. We were all together in a study group that my mom and stepdad facilitated. So that's how we know each other. And I would not have started teaching when they stopped teaching. I was so excited that we moved where we moved because I was like 10 minutes away from that church. Then they decided to stop teaching. And I was like, what? You know, it was devastating. But had they not stopped teaching, I never would have started. Maybe I would have started, but it would have been much down. I was terrified in the beginning of these groups. I know I had a co-facilitator. It may have been my friend Danielle. I don't totally remember, but I was petrified to do this. It was the scariest thing ever, but there was something in me that was like, do it anyway, just show up. You know, the group, everybody's going to hold each other. We're all going to support each other. And we're all teachers. Like, that's also what I am hoping. I'm skipping ahead, but when we get to the activity, we're all teachers, every single one of you. I hope that you can own your teacherness, your miracle workerness in you, that you have this light in you that Jesus wants to give through you to others. And allowing yourself to be used is why we're here. Mm-hmm. It's this thing we come here thinking like, oh, I gotta make this great life. I gotta do X, Y, and Z. We're about to read, "Of myself, I can do nothing, is to gain all power." So when we recognize like, wait a second, I'm going to let myself be used instead of decide, that's when we gain all power. It's got to be authentic, but that is when we gain all power. So the growth and the holding and the learning, I'm getting goosebumps, that has happened over these 10 years. Again, no matter when it was, if this is your first call, it's for the whole. Mm-hmm. It is for the whole. It's for every single one of us. It's not just for each individual self. We're this vibrates outward. This reverberates outward. And we've been doing this as well as all other, you know, people who are joined in similar work, maybe in pathways that look very different, but have love at their core. Mm-hmm. It's all for the whole. And so I feel so much gratitude, and what an honor, I mean, that it's been to be together for so long, for all of us, for so many transitions and changes and lessons and opportunities that we've all shared about over the years. And you'll all have, you know, you still all have each other, and I'm not going anywhere. Like I said already, maybe I'll pop in, you know, down the road, but I do feel at this point, because I'm still in the middle of these unfoldings that have been happening, I'm drawn to just keep, it's this balance between being quiet and not quiet. There's this incredible energy right now that I feel of creativity and sharing, and at the same time, diving deeper into what's been unfolding, you know, within me. And so whatever it is coming, like there's something, I have no idea yet, you know, what's coming, but whatever it is, whatever it is going to be what it is, but I will still stay connected. And I'll say this later on too, but if anybody's not on my email list, that's going to be the best way, you know, to keep in touch. So I'll mention that later on, but anyway, just to come back, Carol and Pat, I love you both so much. and I just have to shout out to your children were students of my husband who was teaching, you know, in your local school. So it's a big, big family thing. All of us here are family. So I love you both. Thank you, Carol. Thank you so much. Cynthia.
Hi.
Hi.
I have to leave early today, regrettably, but I just wanted to say to Chris that there is a visceral thing that happens when you write something. Mm. It kind of takes it from, you know, where it's embedded in your body, in the emotions, and it puts it, it gets it moving out of your body, and it puts it down onto something. So it helps move that emotion. And you'd be surprised what happens when you start writing. Things that you don't know that are in there start just flowing through you. And you start writing things that you maybe don't even know that you're feeling, and it kind of comes out. And once you have a physical embodiment of what you're feeling, then you can decide what to do with it. Mm. You know, like Corinne was saying, you could put it away, you know, and come back to it when you want to. You can honor it as part of you that served you then, but doesn't serve you now. You can light it up and, you know, give it to God or Holy Spirit and watch it go up in smoke, and just decide how you're going to honor it and let go of it when you're ready to. But there is a real cleansing feeling actually that comes when you actually put it into a physical form. So, and I know I'm not that great about doing it, but when my back's against the wall and I really feel like there's really nothing else I can do, and you know, like I'm down on my knees, it's kind of like, okay, God, I got it, you know. I sit there with a pencil. I don't even use a pen. I get a wood pencil and, you know, really just like an organic kind of, I even take notes in pencil so that I can feel, you know, Mother Earth there in my hand, and I get natural with that way too. So you know, it just is really an organic thing to do. So I would encourage that as well.
Thank you so much for that, Cynthia. And you know, as you were speaking, I have something I'd like to add. This work can be quite all right, I'm just going to say it. In the writing, which I second everything that you just said, Cynthia. I absolutely love it. I've noticed even times when I can't fall asleep, if I write out what I'm thinking about, it's like, oh, it's on paper. Don't have to think about it anymore. Now I can go to bed. So the writing is really powerful to get it out. In challenging relationships, which is where our learning, a lot of our learning comes from, the course talks about special love and special hate relationships. They're like two sides of the same ego type of relationship, which is what we all have here. So I'm kind of putting this out to everybody to think about: if there's a relationship challenge in your life, can you be willing, would you be willing to join with the Holy Spirit to write or even just stay out loud, to go into the special hate, to get out? And you know, this is where we want to keep it pretty, right? We want to keep this healing work looking nice. The ego is not nice. The ego, it says in the course, it's suspicious at best and vicious at worst. So if we can go into, if we can give ourselves, if we feel safe enough to say out loud to the Holy Spirit, to just like let it loose, giving it to the Holy Spirit rather than like lashing out at that other person, which maybe we've already done, but like rather than getting out that hatred in the horizontal plane, it's like we're calling on the Holy Spirit, saying, Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you about all my special hate. Here you go. Here's what I really think. There is a massive clearing that can happen in the process of doing that. It's like an above ground pool or an in-ground pool, I guess. when things like leaves and gunk kind of settles to the bottom of the pool, it looks like it's all clean and like, okay, but like there's really gross stuff at the bottom of the pool. It takes kicking it up to get the filter to start filtering it out. So looking at our special hate, the anger that's there, the judgment that's there of that other person, all the things, what we have to take responsibility for are our judgments and our beliefs about those other people. So looking at those judgments and beliefs about those others, offering that to Holy Spirit and giving ourselves permission to go into the hate that is hidden there, can provide a massive opening into healing. So I just have to throw that out there, because this is the shadow work, and it's part of what we are doing with this. The course is not all unicorns and rainbows. It's prompting us, you know, to look, and to look without fear, to look with the Holy Spirit. That's why we don't have to be afraid, is that we're looking at that, those hidden guilts, those hidden hatreds, we're looking at that with Holy Spirit. And that's so incredibly important. So I just wanted to add that. Powerful stuff about writing. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. All right, John, yes, the study group was originally by telephone. I think that's what you were asking. Yep, over the phone. Scott. You're muted still.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Yeah, so Corinne, I just want to reiterate everything that you just said. I've done this freestyle writing where I have a grievance and what comes up is just incredibly ugly. Mm-hmm. It's like a sewer I've allowed a sewer to be present in my mind. And what comes out, it's like, it's unbelievable how dark it is. And yet I just keep saying, okay, Holy Spirit, the reason I'm doing this is I'm giving it to you. Mm-hmm. And it just, it's so uncomfortable to see what's in there. But also then what happens is there is, like you said, there's an energetic release that comes from looking, this is what the Course says, looking at it with the Holy Spirit, right? Not denying that it's there. Mm-hmm. Looking at it with the Holy Spirit, no matter how dark it is. And I've said this before, but the Course is called the pathway. It's one pathway that's called via negativa, which means you look at the negative. Mm-hmm. That's the point of this. Okay. So, and I agree that also with everybody that has said that there is just something going on with putting it on paper as a form of release. And so, and I've got different forms I use for different things, but just that style that you're describing of letting all the hate flow out and saying, here it is, Holy Spirit, this is what's truly in my mind about this. Mm-hmm. It works. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, the last three lessons, 91 through 93, have all been on the topic of strength. It's not in the title. There's one in the first 50 that God is the strength in which I trust. And years ago, someone told me that the easiest feeling state to get into with the Holy Spirit was the feeling state of strength. And so those last three lessons that we just did are all about strength. And then there's the God is the strength in which I trust. I'll do the lesson and I'll ask Holy Spirit, what does strength feel like? And up it comes. And so if there's fear present, if there's anxiety present, no matter what's there, I can tap into the feeling of strength that comes from the Holy Spirit if I simply ask for it as a replacement for what's there instead. And so I use that. I mean, I use those strength lessons every day because that's the feeling state I want to be in. Mm-hmm. And so I literally choose it. And so that's what works for me.
Beautiful. Thank you for your words, Scott. And thank you for that via negativa, looking at the negative. Thank you for that term. Yes to everything that you just said. Thank you very much. Wow. Okay, let's read the next paragraph. We're on paragraph number 4. Here again is the paradox often referred to in the Course. To say of myself, I can do nothing, is to gain all power. And yet it is but a seeming paradox. As God created you, you have all power. The image you made of yourself has none. The Holy Spirit knows the truth about you. The image you made does not. Yet despite its obvious and complete ignorance, this image assumes it knows all things because you have given that belief to it. Such is your teaching and the teaching of the world which was made to uphold it. But the teacher who knows the truth has not forgotten it. His decisions bring benefit to all, being wholly devoid of attack and therefore incapable of arousing guilt. Whew. I love that sentence. To say of myself, I can do nothing, is to gain all power. It seems like a paradox because as God created us, we already have all that power, but the part that we are identified with is completely ignorant, yet it assumes it knows all things. So when we, when Corinne, identified as the small self, says, I don't know anything, she's essentially stepping out of the way to let what is already there come through. So that's perhaps another helpful thing when we're dealing with really, really intense situations, is to remind ourselves that despite all the things that we think about it, that very well may be accurate on the level of form, we still don't know anything. Yeah, we still can come to that space. I think I'm going to keep reading. Does anybody want to chime in real quick? Let's read the next paragraph. Who assumes a power that he does not have is deceiving himself. Yet to accept the power given him by God is but to acknowledge his creator and accept his gifts. And his gifts have no limits. To ask the Holy Spirit to decide for you is merely to accept your true inheritance. Does this mean that you cannot say anything without consulting him? No, indeed. That would hardly be practical, and it is the practical with which this course is most concerned. If you have made the habit of asking for help when and where you can be confident that wisdom will be given you when you need it. Prepare for this in the morning. Remember God when you can throughout the day. Ask the Holy Spirit's help when it is feasible, and thank him for his guidance at night. And your confidence will be well founded indeed. You know, I just have to highlight the sentence where it says, when you've made a habit of asking for help when and where you can be confident that wisdom will be given you when you need it. So in other words, we don't always have to be asking. I'm just thinking again, long-term over the years, it was some time ago, but Paula, I actually remember you talking, I'm sure there was more than one story, but like, it's like suddenly the guidance or something is just there and you didn't ask. Like it was as if like the answer just showed up. That example reminds me of what it is that we just read. As we make this habit of asking for help as best we can, there will be other times when something just pops up, even if we haven't asked for it, because again, it's about building that habit. So I love how it just says, prepare for this in the morning. Remember God when you can throughout the day, ask the Holy Spirit's help when it's feasible, and thank him for his guidance at night, and your confidence will be well founded indeed. Paula.
In reference to what you were just saying, last week when you asked us to find a stone, something, anything to bring tonight, I just put that out of my mind. I really didn't think about it again. I was going through some boxes and I came across this blue marble. Then later on, I thought, what could I bring on Sunday night? And the blue marble popped right into my head. Years ago, my cat died. And when the cat died, my husband said, never again, we're not having any more pets. You know, we were at a point where we could travel and do things. He didn't want to be tied down by anything. I have to have a cat in my life, but I wasn't going to come up against him because that just, you know, I'm out in the garden digging something and I find this blue marble in the dirt. And within a few minutes, I hear this kitten crying. It was living up in my neighbor's garage and it jumped onto the tree and started, and I coaxing it down the tree. And when I picked her up, she had the most beautiful blue eyes. And it was just, I'm keeping her. And he was not happy. I brought that cat in. When he came home, he was so angry with me. But I thought, you know something? I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to trust this cat. This is no accident. To find this damn blue marble in the dirt meant, you know, it was like a gift. It was approval. He wound up, he was crazy about that cat. Within a week, he started talking to me again. The cat just loved him, didn't bother with me at all. It became his cat. So I just thought, what are the chances of this coming into my life, right? Finding, this is 20 years ago that this happened. I haven't thought of this blue marble. So it just seems so appropriate.
Oh, Paula. Oh my goodness. Thank you for sharing that. That is absolutely beautiful and so perfect. So perfect.
Really?
Wow. Thank you for that. Oh my goodness. You got a lot of hearts on the screen. All right, let's read the next paragraph. Wow, I'm smiling so much, my cheeks are hurting. Okay. Never forget that the Holy Spirit does not depend on your words. He understands the requests of your heart and answers them. Does this mean that while attack remains attractive to you, he will respond with evil? Hardly. For God has given him the power to translate your prayers of the heart into his language. He understands that an attack is a call for help, and he responds with help accordingly. God would be cruel if he let your words replace his own. A loving father does not let his child harm himself or choose his own destruction. He may ask for injury, but his father will protect him still. And how much more than this does your father love his son? And I'll pause there for a moment. So this is powerful, that the Holy Spirit doesn't depend on our words. The Holy Spirit understands what is in our heart. And whether it's love in our heart or attack in our heart, it doesn't matter, because even if it's attack, the Holy Spirit only sees that as a call for love and so responds with love. And can we, again, maybe in situations where we have challenging relationship situations unfolding, can we see attack as a call for love? Can we see that attack as a call for love? Anybody want to chime in before I read the next paragraph? Paula, do you have your hand up again, or is that from before? It's from before. Okay. Let's read the next paragraph. Remember, you are his completion and his love. Remember, your weakness is his strength. But do not read this hastily or wrongly. If his strength is in you, what you perceive as your weakness is but illusion. And he has given you the means to prove it so. Ask all things of his teacher, and all things are given you. Not in the future, but immediately, now. God does not wait, for waiting implies time, and he is timeless. Forget your foolish images, your sense of frailty, and your fear of harm, your dreams of danger and selected wrongs. God knows but his son, and as he was created, so he is. In confidence, I place you in his hands, and I give thanks for you that it is so. So when we ask, it is given instantly, but we just might not be ready to receive. And that's just an important thing to remind ourselves, because it might get frustrating that we feel like we're asking and not hearing, but answers are given and they are stored for us until we are ready to receive those gifts of God. I love how it just says at the end of this paragraph, God knows but his son, and as he was created, so he is. I love how Jesus is saying, in confidence, I place you in his hands, and I give thanks for you that it is so. That's just beautiful. Oh, anyone want to chime in? Questions, comments, or any other sentences that might stand out to you that we've read so far that we haven't covered, or if we have, you just feel moved to bring it up again. Andrea, I see your hand. And then Paula, were you saying something? Or no? No. Okay. Andrea.
So I've just been noticing that sort of through this whole, I feel like I'm a paragraph behind in this, in the reading tonight. It's like, oh, like I get it. You're reading the next paragraph and I'm catching on to the previous one. Mm. But when you shared the story about your teacher who's told the story about her daughter, about I wanted to do it myself, I wanted to do it myself, I was struck by how, like with toddlers in particular, like it's really important that they be allowed to do things themselves so that they can develop and learn and grow. And if parents do everything for them, they don't develop correctly. And so I was sort of seeing us as the toddlers wanting to do it ourselves and how we need to, and how our parent, in this case, God or Holy Spirit, is letting us do it ourselves. And also knowing that there's no real mistake. There's no mistake to be made. It's either a loving and wise outcome or it's a learning opportunity. And then as it goes on into the previous paragraph we were just reading, and it says, he, meaning the son, may ask for injury, but his father, meaning Holy Spirit and God, will protect him still. Meaning like even when we're trying to do something that's going to hurt us, or even when we're really locked into thinking about something in a way that's very painful to the truth of who we are, which I have been in that state for the past couple of months. And it just came to a head this past weekend, and a very old video of yours, Corinne, kind of snapped me out of it. And it snapped me into doing what I need to do to get through it, which I put in the chat. And then the wisdom can flow through. But our Father, God, Spirit is not letting real injury come to us, or real pain, other than enough to get us to want to do what we need to do to let it go.
Right.
And that's going to be different for each of us, the method we use, but.
Right. Oh, Andrea, thank you. That was really helpful. And thank you for what you posted in the chat about the work by Byron Katie and getting that special hate out.
It's a tool. It's a tool that helps me a lot. It helps me get me from ruminating to on paper and working it through, which unless I write it down, it just keeps playing on repeat. I don't ever get to the wisdom available on the other side, because I get stuck in the repeat of the muck. The ego's favorite game is to flog ourselves and to make ourselves feel like horrible people. And that's not the point, but you gotta get through it.
Well said. There was something that I wanted to respond to that you said also. Let me see if I can retrieve it. I love how you made that parallel of like that parallel between the adolescent and it being us, of wanting to do it ourselves, and that like we have to try, you know, to do it ourselves, to see like, hey, wait a second, this actually doesn't give me what I was looking for. I want God. I want what I truly am, and not to be playing with, as the Course says, blown up children's toys. So thank you for that. Thank you so much. And I also noticed Eric posted something in the chat that's a really important point that it's worth highlighting. Not only, you know, looking at the negatives, we have to also look at the positives and hand those over too, because it's an ego trap to like just want the positives. Like, you know, let's hang on to all the positives and make a happy little world for ourselves. But that is just as much that will bind us to an identity as a small self, just as much as the negative can. So thank you for that very important point, Eric. And it's temptation to want to keep those and allow those to delay us. So thank you. Scott.
Still learning how to do this on the phone. Okay, so I'll make this personal, and I'll also make it brief. I just moved, and the person that I moved with or moved from, I met her 2 years ago because two of us were living in the same house with this other guy. And this other guy who owned the house told her she had to leave. So he takes off for Costa Rica and puts me in charge of making sure she leaves on time. There was an absolute deadline. Okay. So this is all part of the story, by the way. Let me make that clear. So the deadline comes and she needs an entire week longer than the deadline to move out of this place. And I said, okay. I mean, I knew she needed to do it and she needed to clean the place right. And this guy, the guy that owns the place, he was really nasty about it and evicting her. And he's in Costa Rica. So I decide, okay, take the week, do it right, take your time and no pressure. Okay. So 3 or 4 months later, then I find myself living with her. And it's in an environment that, I mean, I intuitively, Corinne, was told repeatedly, do not move in with her. Mm. And I did it anyways, because she's telling me, oh, it'll be fun, and luring me. And my mom, who was in a state of fear, was pushing me. And so I did it anyways. I went ahead and moved in. Well, in the last month, it's gotten so bad, because it's like living with a sorority girl. She smokes weed every night. She drinks every night. She has multiple guys over that she sleeps with, and all this business, right? And clearly, I could see why the Holy Spirit said, don't move in there. But so I get this new place and I'm on my way out, right? And she starts barking orders at me about how the place is supposed to be, how clean it's supposed to be, and all of this business. And she starts giving me the business. And I tell her, Elise, I need 3 hours to come back the following day so that I can properly clean this place. And she comes back to me with, if you want to come back to clean, I'm charging you for the time you're going to be here. You have to pay me $30 to clean because it's past March 31st. My ego went freaking through the roof, just ballistic over the irony that I gave her an entire week to move out at no cost, and she wants to charge me to come back to clean for 3 hours when she doesn't have her new person coming in for 2 days. Okay. And then, like, I don't know who just spoke, but it has been ruminating in my mind and will not freaking stop. So I went ahead and I put down on paper what it is, you know, that all of the rumination, and it's so ugly. I mean, if this weren't your last class, I'd read it, but it would be like vomiting on everybody. The point is, right, is that this stuff stays in there and it sticks. Mm-hmm. And unless I do something to get it out, as vile as it is, it just sticks like glue. And so here it is. And even though I can justify how I've been wronged and how I've been unfairly treated, it doesn't make any difference.
Right.
It's the garbage that stays in my head that causes me to be miserable and uptight and sick, that if I don't get it out on paper somehow, it's just the problem continues, and the problem is now mine, not her.
Right.
That's it.
Thank you, Scott. We got to get it out. We've got to get it out to look at it with Holy Spirit so it can be transformed. And what you're speaking to is taking that responsibility. So no longer pointing the finger at how horrible that other person is, but taking responsibility for what we are holding on to, the judgments that we are keeping, what we are playing over and over in our head. That is taking responsibility, that radical responsibility and honesty too, with writing all of it out. Those were 2 points that I wanted to make earlier. that in this getting out of the special hate, that is taking radical responsibility, which I'm always talking about, how important it is to take that responsibility for what's happening in our minds. And it's exercising radical honesty with the Holy Spirit about what is there. And that's where we can make that space for that healing to come through us. So thank you, Scott. Any other comments? I want to actually shift us into our meditation activity. So does that feel good? We feel ready? Okay, awesome. Oh, Aaron, yes.
Are you going to read paragraph 8?
It's going to be part of it.
That's going to be, I got you.
Yep, okay. It's going to be part of it. I it was funny before the call began. I've had, I'll just out myself. I try to space things out like in my schedule, so it's not all happening at once. And this week, you know, the masterclass door is open. There's a lot of back end that has to happen and a lot of deadlines that I have to meet for that to happen. I saved my taxes till this week. The deadline is Monday, but I got them in, you know, a few days ago. I had a UCDM, Un Curso de Milagros Universal, out of Colombia in South America. I had a talk there this morning. It was the last study group. I'm like, I can't believe this is all happening in the same week. So I trusted that leading up to this group between finishing my talk this morning and tonight, I trusted that something would come forward for how this activity would look. And as I read through this section earlier, it was just immediately clear that we're doing this final section here to music in a meditation. And so I invite you, get your stone, your object, your marble, your blue marble, whatever it is that you have that you'll be using in representation for our work together. And please also have your paper and your pen handy too, because it's going to be helpful to jot a few things down. And what I'm going to do is play a song. So let me just share that for a moment. Whoops. Okay, I don't think that worked. Hold on. Let me try one more time. Share sound, share computer audio. Here we go. Can we all hear this? Can you hear my voice at a comfortable volume with the music? Okay, good. Because it's really loud for me. So I'm going to lower it, my earbuds. So you can hear me okay? Wonderful. All right, let's get comfy. Allowing your eyes to close. And we're going to settle in. I invite you to hold your object, whatever this object is that you brought to group tonight. Just sitting and holding it in your hands. And let's just begin this meditation with a few deep breaths. Breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth. And imagining, again, we're in our circle around the fire. And behind you, behind each of us, are our guides. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, the Black Madonna, angels, ancestors, all who have come before us, and even those who have yet to come, because our work is for all. And if you can right now, just really trying to drop into feeling these guides. Maybe standing behind you. Ancestors. Behind you. And if we were to get a bird's eye view of our circle with the fire in the middle and all of us sitting around that circle, it would look like a flower, as so many stand behind each one of us. And they're really here right now. Continuing to just breathe and softening your belly. Being present to this feeling of not being alone. I'm going to read the final paragraph of this section in the manual. And now, in all your doings, be you blessed. God turns to you for help to save the world. Teacher of God, his thanks he offers you, and all the world stands silent in the grace you bring from him. You are the son he loves. And it is given you to be the means through which his voice is heard around the world. To close all things of time. To end the sight of all things visible. And to undo all things that change. Through you is ushered in a world unseen, unheard, yet truly there. Holy are you. And in your light, the world reflects your holiness. For you are not alone and friendless. I give thanks for you and join your efforts on behalf of God. Knowing they are on my behalf as well. And for all those who walk to God with me. Just letting these words be felt in your heart and in your mind. And holding your object, also allowing into your heart a recognition, a humble recognition of all of the progress that you have made, whether you see it or not. It is there. So this is beyond your judgment of yourself. This is an acknowledgement of the progress that you have made, that the Holy Spirit sees so clearly, whether you see it or not. You've dropped layers of fear. You've been willing to make the Holy Spirit a habit. These are no small things. And imagining us in our circle, feeling so much gratitude for one another. And we can imagine infusing the object that we're holding with this gratitude, with this humble recognition of progress. And even though we're calling it progress, remember, we already have everything. It's just a progress in beginning to remember that. And it's there and it's real. We're all on this pathway, this journey together. And again, just infusing this object with that gratitude and with a recognition for our opening our hearts and our minds to God. And I'd like for you just to think for a moment, as we think about moving forward, is there an intention that comes to mind? Maybe a way that you would like to show up in the world? Maybe a way that you would like to be? And while still maintaining this quiet center, we're going to continue this meditation for just a few moments with our eyes open as we pick up our pens. And just jot down on your paper any intention that comes to mind about how you would like to be moving forward. Do you want to be peace? More grounded, a better listener. Right now, just allow your eyes to gently open and just jot down a few things that come to mind on your piece of paper about your intention moving forward. I'm not going to ask anybody to share, so you can just write whatever you'd like. Whenever you're done, you can just close your eyes again. Just continuing to breathe while we all just write some things down. The next step with this intention is to claim it, claim this thing that you want, that you seek, to claim it as your own now. So in other words, if you wrote down, I want to be more peaceful, or I want to be more grounded, we're just going to modify those words so there's no space between that thing and you. So you're claiming it as yours now. So maybe rather than I want to be more peaceful, you might say, I am peace. I am the embodiment of peace. Or if you want to be an open channel, you would write, I am an open channel. If your intention was that you want to know that you don't walk alone, write, I do not walk alone. So we're owning it right now. There is no space between that thing and us. We are claiming it as our own. And please write that down, those new words. It might just be a simple, clear statement. And again, whenever you feel that you've done this, you can just close your eyes again. As you hold your object, allowing this statement of claiming your intention as yours now, allowing those words to infuse your object so you have this physical reminder of that which you are now. If you're still writing, know that you can continue to refine this later on as you'd like. And I invite all of us just to come back to our circle with our eyes closed, imagining that our fire is at the center. And as we sit in this circle with our objects in our hands, not only mentally feeling and seeing each other around this circle, but feeling all of our spiritual support behind us. And maybe right now, you might actually feel it as if there were somebody actually standing behind you when you get that feeling of just knowing there's another person nearby, seeing if you can feel the presence of those who love you on your spiritual dream team. As you think of our group and you think of each other, infusing your object with the love of this group, with all of the stories that have been shared, the joys, the sorrows, and this container that we've held for each other for so long. For the past 10 plus years, or however long it is that you've been here. You've held each other. You've held this space for each other. And again, just allowing this love to infuse this object, because this object is going to be a beautiful reminder moving forward that what we've shared is eternal. It is with you always. And just letting that gratitude fill up your heart. We can thank our guides, our angels, our ancestors for joining with all of us in our embodiment of claiming that which we truly are. And again, in your mind, just focusing on our circle and the love and the gratitude. And then just dropping in, if you feel like you've left your body, dropping into your body, sitting here in this chair or couch or seat, or if you're standing, just feeling your body. Maybe even imagining a root system that extends from the bottoms of your feet into the earth, and wherever each of us is in the world, the same earth that we're standing on. It's the same sun that we're under, the same moon, the same stars. We are connected to one another and to our Father, Mother, God. And taking a few deep breaths in and out. And in and out. And I invite you just to slowly allow your eyes to open, maybe wiggling your toes. Wiggling your fingers, just moving and stretching in any way that your body is asking you to. Just taking in one another, our presence here. Keeping that piece of paper on which you wrote your intention, and just in your heart, know that if you have had any help from this group, I've received it tenfold. You all have been amazing to journey with over the past 10 years. This group helped me find my voice. It helped me get comfortable speaking about A Course in Miracles and sharing about my experiences. And even the space that you all have held for me over the past several months, the first time that I shared about my experience with the Black Madonna, I think it was over the summer when I shared it, or in the fall, I don't remember, but your love and your support has meant more to me than I can ever put into words. So if you've received healing from this group, know that I have tenfold from all of you. And that you've helped me claim my own gifts and my own purpose in sharing in the world. So I thank you, each and every one of you, from the bottom of my heart. Oh, wow. As I will just spend a few minutes if anybody does want to share anything. but just know how grateful I am for each of you. And just remember, I'm not going anywhere. I will share in my recent emails that I've sent out to my list, in which I've been talking about my love of trees and Steve's video and Steve's story and things that have been coming up. I've gotten such beautiful, beautiful responses. And one person had written to me an incredibly compassionate response and said that he was refraining from commenting about like what I was experiencing because this person thought that they said they were refraining from commenting to just give space for my realizations to be coming through, and that they had a hunch that what was happening would be bringing me back to the course in an even deeper way. And I've been noticing that. I've been very much feeling that and being just brought into these teachings in a much, in an even deeper way, which I'm still in, not over yet. But so all that to just say is that I'm not going anywhere. And I look forward to our connection and, you know, various settings and situations, and how wonderful would it be one day to be able to be in person, but right? Yep. It really would be. And again, who knows, maybe I'll be popping in here and there. And Deidre, I couldn't be more honored to pass the torch over to you. I know I'm leaving everyone in very, very good hands. And I've been so grateful through the years just for your insights and your sharing and your knowledge and wisdom. And it's just so exciting that you said yes. So I'm so, so happy to pass the torch over. And like I said, it'll be the same Zoom link. So nothing's changing. Anybody feel moved to share before we end our call?
I'll share something. I just want to say thank you for everything you've done for us. Like you say, you've gotten a lot from us, but we've gotten so much from you too. And from everybody else in the group too. I want to thank all of the input that everybody's given. I love you, and I'll be following you no matter where you go.
Oh, John, I love you. I love you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Tracy and Mike.
Yes. Thank you, Corinne, and everyone in this group. It's no small thing to have met every week for 10 plus years with the intention of love and compassion and upholding truth. I mean, it's and then reading the entire text together, like every time I think about that, it's astonishing. It's like, wow. And everyone sharing, you know, Aaron and Chris and Scott and Andrea and everyone, like we all feel this, and it's all us, and it's just beautiful to connect and just apply these course principles to these everyday struggles. It just ties it all together. Mm-hmm. This is so tremendously helpful. And then I just think it's awesome that all these calls are archived and it continue to extend this love and peace out, you know, in the future. And, you know, it's just limitless on how much this can help people. I know myself, just listening to the archive calls, it just brings me so much peace, like truly. And I just thank everybody for their honest, vulnerable sharing. So grateful for Deidre. Thank you, because it's a huge commitment and undertaking to take the reins of this group. I'm excited for what's to come. So thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Mike. Tracy, it was you who reminded me just about, like, you were like, you read the text together, like the whole time, like, and the manual twice. And You were like, and I remember in your email, you said like, and there were some nights when you only read one paragraph. So thank you for that reminder for everybody that those archives are, they're living on my website forever. So they're yours for the downloading and the listening and the great discussion. So I love you both, Tracy, Mike. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you. And Tracy, you've reminded me too about the one night where my husband was driving me home in a snowstorm and I was doing the study group from the cell phone. That was such a distant memory. I wasn't even sure if it actually happened. So thank you for confirming that it did. Oh, thank you very much. Deidre, hello.
Oh, hi, Corinne. I just was listening to the way that you chose to, you know, close the group tonight. And I was just thinking, man, like, God is great. Like, how perfect was that last paragraph to send everyone off? It actually made me really emotional. And I want to say thank you for trusting me to take the reins in the first place. And I don't take it lightly, and I wouldn't be doing it had you not asked. So thank you for the opportunity. And I just want to say to everyone in the group how much I love you, how much I value the space that is here, and how honored I am to be continuing. You matter to me a lot. And I know that some may not choose to stay, and that's totally fine. I just trust that everything will unfold as it's meant to. So I just want you to know I feel really blessed and I feel really grateful. So Corinne, thank you.
Thank you, Deidre. Thank you for your words. Thank you so very much. Oh, wow. And yes, thank you, Andrea, for answering. John in the chat, yes, all the archives, all the recordings that were over the phone are there. A number of them were actually lost when my website got redone, but we found them. So they've been relinked, and literally every single week of the past 10 plus years is on my website. So feel free to dive into the archives. Oh, wonderful. Thank you for these fun emojis. I'm seeing a little, oh, it's flowers. I thought it was a dancer. anybody else? Andrea.
I just have a practical question for Deidre. Are we going to be meeting on Easter, the night of Easter? I'll be there if so, but I just wanted to know in advance.
Yeah, I'm thinking we might not meet on Easter. So yeah.
Thank you for that question. So yes, you'll meet next week, not the week after, and then you would resume from there. So
thank you.
Right. That's Easter, the 17th. Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Andrea. Oh, you get to make the decisions now, Deidre. Oh, wow. All right, everyone. I love all of you. I love every single one of you. I hope you can feel it. I hope you can feel it deeply. And I'm just so excited for what is to come for each and every one of us. So Wendy, love you. Heart hands. I love you all.
We love you too, Corinne.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Bye-bye. Thanks for staying late.
See you next week.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you,
Corinne.
Thank you.
Love you all.
Thank you.
Your masterclass.
Yay. Doing it. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. That's
hope
wonderful.
Hope to see you around, you know, in other ways.
Absolutely.
I just started this.
Yes. Oh, stay connected. I didn't put my, everybody knows my website at fromanxietytolove.com, and there's a number of ways of opting in, which you probably opted in already just to even have the Zoom information. So I'll send out, you know, what's up, touching base that way. So wonderful. Thank you, everybody. I love you all.
Thank you.
See you at the master class, Corinne, and yay! See you next week, Deidre.
See you then. Bye-bye.